Well, weekly we say, and weekly we do.
With an
it
I.
It is weekly, and we perform weekly, and this is the new extra week Pranks and Firths show.
You sound under the weather and bunged up.
Bunged up nose. I mean, you know what? What I'm going to do live, let's test out some drugs live on, you know, like other podcasts, they do like tests of food stuff. So I'm going to do this Otravine adult nasal spray.
Do you know that Sudafed's got like amphetamine or amphetamine-based type things in it?
Has it?
Yeah, I think it's got ephedrine in it, I think. Because I was listening to an American podcast and they were like, oh, have you ever had that Sudafed you can get in the UK and Europe? Because I don't think they can over there.
Athletes aren't allowed to take it, I know that.
Did you know that an athlete...
Hold on, I'm going to do this live. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's such a good bit. I couldn't wait for it.
Yeah.
Would you just snort a line of fucking Beecham's powder? What was that?
Well, that's got to be good podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, now tell us the effect. How do you feel? It's like DMT or something.
Instantly clear... a lot of loose snot there for the listener. It's that ASMR, you know, that thing where people, they talk and rustle something. Can you do that with just hoiking up a greenie?
Do you remember sativa videos on YouTube?
What was sativa?
Sativa was one of those loophole, what do they call them? Not bath salts, but loophole drugs that you could buy.
Oh, fuck.
And they would say, you know, you could buy them from like a hedonist shop and it would say like not suitable for human consumption. And it was a herb and you could smoke it and apparently have these very, very powerful hallucinogenic experiences. So a lot of people were doing these sativa videos where their mate was smoking a bong full of sativa and they were just filming them collapse on a bed and freak out. We could do that, but with cold remedies.
Yeah, well, I've had this now. I mean, I've not been well. I mean, I'm not. I know I'm preaching to the illest man in Norfolk, and I don't mean in a rap sense.
You don't mean like the Beastie Boys?
No, no, no.
One of them was ill for a little while.
Was. Yeah, and not then, for very long, unfortunately.
Not long enough.
Yeah. Oh, God. Awful. But, yeah, I just want to feel better, really.
Better I'm than still hurting. Anyone who eats meat, morally.
I'm still hurting from the weight and the exercise.
What was your last session?
It was legs, the last session.
Today I'm going to the gym late. I haven't been yet.
But we delayed so that you could go to the gym.
I did go and get my car washed, though.
Oh, okay.
And I played. I tried to play the guess what country these guys are from.
Oh, yeah.
Not a clue, and I didn't want to ask them. They were moody, one of the moodier countries in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, they've got a mood to them often. Is that racist?
Well, no, there's a cultural thing that I, because of I like MMA so much, and there's a lot of the Russian, like Fedor Emelianenko, he's like the greatest heavyweight of all time, arguably. And I've never, ever, ever, ever seen him smile in a picture or in an interview. And apparently, I was listening to an interview.
Sign of weakness.
Yeah, or stupidity. Like in Russia, smiling is seen as like the village idiot would walk around grinning. So they see it as a sign of like a very low status to smile. Yeah. I don't know, that's all Russians. And obviously they can.
I have heard that previously.
Yeah, so these.
I mean, most of the stuff I hear is from you, so probably.
Yeah, and so therefore you can take it to the bank. So these guys were from one of the areas of the world where it's probably not customary to smile or.
Because it was personable.
Like, just they all sort of like had the car washed. And they opened the door. That's weird. I don't like that. I feel like I'm in Grand Theft Auto.
When they come in,
you're just sitting there, and like they walk over, and you think, oh, I just want my window down, and you sort of I go to press the window button because I've got electric windows. Don't want to brag. And as I go to press it, the door just disappears. What do you want? I'm like, can you just wash the outside? And they just like slam it. But I'm expecting them to drag me out and go. Joyriding around Norwich,
like Grand Theft Auto,
Norfolk. Yeah, but so they washed it, and then he like banged on the window really hard, and just sort of like motioning me to sort of reverse slightly so they could get all.
Oh,
the
I hate that! The pressure of having to do those little micro drives.
And you always think, oh, I'm definitely gonna crush one of their hands in my alloys. Yeah. Like I catastrophize about maiming a Bulgarian. Yep. And then they go like, oh, then he knocked on the window again and I had to go to the dry zone. And then all four doors opened simultaneously, and I felt so naked and exposed, and they were sort of like shammying down inside the doors, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I don't like it.
I give him the money. It was £6.
Cash.
Don't tell the tax man. But I had £7 coins in my little ashtray in my car. So I gave it to him. This is so embarrassing. Oh, I'm cringing about myself. I'm such a cunt. I gave him £6 and then £1, so he knew.
Oh, a little tip.
Oh, it's all right. I'll give him a pound tip as long as I get the credit for it. I said, yeah. There's an extra pound for you there. Send that one home to the mother country.
Did he say, oh, thank you so much?
No. He just went, ugh, and I slammed the door. Oh. And I drove off. But they did a good job. They did do a good job, but if anyone's interested.
See, that's the thing. I only want a tip if I'm getting a reward.
I didn't even go. Oh, yeah. I would. Oh, I don't like that. You know, do people leave? Well, those people don't pay for things with money now. But I always thought that was the weirdest system. Walking out of a busy restaurant and just leaving a wad of cash on the table.
Very weird. But it's even weirder now because you now often you can't leave a tip via the card reader. So you will now go, look, there, I've paid my £40 or whatever for the meal. And then I'm going to put this
and the
cash,
rest.
This £7 on the little dish.
What about this adding it already?
I've got no problem with that. That takes it away from me having to think about it.
Okay, so scenario. Genuinely. Hypothetical scenario. Ash, there's a new vegan-friendly restaurant opened up in Lee-on-Sea. Not outside the realms of possibility, would you say?
No, absolutely.
You go there, grand opening night. There are balloons made out of recycled Hessian fucking whatever's outside.
Yeah.
There's... you go in there and they go... This is the vegan menu, sir. You order a vegan. The service is terrible.
Mm.
The waiter says, insults you and your good lady.
What's he call me?
He calls you a pinhead.
Oh, well, that's all right. I thought he could
no,
be
he says,
pig-faced
he says you're a
little...
numbskull. You say something. You say, oh, was this vegan cheese in the vegan cheese bake? And he goes, of course, it's a vegan restaurant, you fucking numbskull.
this isn't far from the truth of what actually happened to me in the...
I've got to tell you about a waiter. So, let's get on with a hypothetical. So you get terrible service, terrible food, and you're like, this is the worst meal I've ever had. If I was the sort of person that would use a site like TripAdvisor, this would be one star.
Yeah.
But you're probably not. I hope not. Otherwise, we can't be friends anymore, even though I wouldn't go that far to start with. But anyway, so then...
Yeah, you did. You just said it.
Yeah, we can't be friends ever in
you
the first
me.
Place. So no, yeah. Come on. So then... And then it goes, oh, we've added 25% gratuity on top. Can you say, look, sorry, I'm not being funny. Can you opt out of it if the service is that bad?
Yeah, you can, but I can't.
No, I know you can't.
But yeah, you can. My girlfriend...
I didn't know you... How do you do
it.
That then?
How what?
How do you do it? Because it's already
you
on the thing.
We're not paying that service.
And then
charge.
They have to bring over that big calculator thing and go doot and take it off.
Yeah, my girlfriend's friends have done that at a meal where they had terrible service. The food came out cold like 3 times. So they're like, look, we're not paying that. And I think they also got their drinks for free. It's one of those where it's like, we're not paying that and we want something else.
That is the thing. I was getting home from a gig on Saturday, and I went to a 24-hour garage to get some beers. When you go to the 24-hour garage and they won't let you in, and it's like, what? How?
I hate it. I wouldn't bother buying anything. I could be desperately hungry. I won't bother getting. No, what do you want? Don't worry about it.
Why can you walk in some and not others?
Don't
can
know.
We standardise it? Because I feel like such an idiot when I walk up to an automatic door, stand at it. And do you ever do that thing when you walk up to an automatic door and it doesn't open, you look up and then down the door, like that's going to do something.
Yeah.
Like, you look
up
and down the door. And then I looked at the bloke and he taps on the night service hatch. So I go, what? Yeah. I said, are you serving alcohol? Because it's technically it's Sunday morning. I guess it was half past midnight, right? Sunday morning. I go, you still serving alcohol? And he went, yeah. And I thought, all right, mate, it's a reasonable question. You might not have been. I don't know. I don't work for the fucking government. And then I go, what cold beers you got? He goes, what do you want?
No, not an answer. Not an answer at any time. That's like my girlfriend What are we having for dinner? What do you want?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Not acceptable.
So I craned my neck to look, and I go, are they big bottles of Moretti? And he was like, Moretti? Like, he didn't know anything about beer.
Oh, Christ. Why ask what I want, then?
So I went, can I have 3 bottles of Moretti? Big bottles of Moretti. So he went and got them. They were... It came to, like... It was an offer. More than enough. You can normally get 3 big bottles for a fiver from a one-stop shop or a Morrison's. But these were, this was a Waitrose garage. And I thought, I'm going to get rumped here. This is going to be like 12 quid or something. But it was £2.99 a bottle, but it came out with a bit of a multi-buy, and it was like £6.90. So I've got out a £20 note, and I go, yeah, go. And he goes, you got anything smaller?
Oh, my God.
Hey, I've got to get this off my chest. I think this is a question that needs to be asked. I went, huh? He goes, have you got anything smaller? Because otherwise you can take on my change. And I felt like going, well, what's the change? What do you need change for? And he'd say, well, to give to customers. And I'd go, which I am. Why do you need this? If you're not going to give change out, why do you need it? Like, I'm a customer. Why is it on me to make sure you've got enough change to give the next fucking cunt what comes in here? I want your change.
Justin has just, ladies and gentlemen, he will realise shortly that he's just written a new bit.
What is this? So you've got that big till with a box of change under it and you...
That's not for you.
Yeah. Why is that when people in shops say, oh, I can't get anything smaller, you take on my change? Like, that's what the change is for, dickhead.
Yeah.
What, are you rationing out like 15p change to every customer or something? So in the end, I stood my ground and I paid on my credit card. I did contactless, and they do it through the glass, didn't they? And I felt like that scene from Midnight Express.
Never had it done through the glass.
Oh, he just held up against the glass, and it was like that scene in Midnight Express where his girlfriend presses her tits up against it, and he starts rubbing his hands on it.
Oh, the memories come back that I never would have ever had ever again.
You masturbate into that film?
No, that film.
Oh,
wow.
If anyone hasn't watched Midnight Express, I think the opening scene of that film, the vignette, the beginning part, is the most tense. I've never watched anything that's made my heart rate go up, because he's smuggling drugs out of Turkey.
Something like that.
And he's going through the airport, and it's one of them things where, fuck, it's so tense. You know he's going to get caught, but it's like... Because I used to, when I was a kid, I nicked a few penny sweets. Sure, I'm no angel.
You used to smuggle drugs out of Turkey, didn't you?
I used to like do the odd bit of shoplifting. Sure, I'm no angel. The odd penny sweet, the odd packet of spicy tomato
snacks. I didn't start shoplifting until I was in my 30s.
Well, I did it when I was young, and that feeling when you walk out, I always thought I was going to be the one that gets caught. And watching that Midnight Express, God, it was heart and mouth. It's like the beginning of Falling Down makes you really stressed out and angry. You know, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah,
he's in the traffic jam, there's a fly in his car, and you can see why he goes mental.
I can't remember what happened to the end of Falling Down.
Neither can I.
Does he kill?
He kills loads of people, doesn't he? Or does he just go on a rampage?
I can't remember. I'd love to remember.
I don't know, but I think Falling Down was overrated.
Oh, but it was the first of its kind, wasn't it?
It was basically a film version of a stand-up comedian set, which is basically talking about annoying things like the fact they stopped serving breakfast at 10, at 1 minute past 10. And it was sort of like comedy bits, sort of like, you know, like them sort of, a lot of comedians moan about things, don't they, Ash?
Yeah.
You know them sort of comedians that moan about stuff, like not being able to get change?
Yeah, no, I like that as a bit, though.
Yeah, so that's it's such a truth, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's all true for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm all about the truth, mate.
So, can I tell you about... was that your... Would that count as your waiter story?
No, the waiter story was I went... Because I was doing a
gig... By the way, I don't remember what my waiter story is now, so...
You told me it was about your girlfriend taking...
No, there was something else. I can't remember.
Oh, so anyway, I'm sorry. Well, I went to a... I stayed in the Travelodge Friday night because I had a gig in... Cambridge, and then the next night,
terribly sad,
and it was the bleakest. It was on the A14, and it was all cordoned off, and I had to wait at a closed road to get an escort to the Travelodge, which was behind cones. And like in the car park was like massive plant, you know, like huge rollers and tarmac eating machines and stuff.
Yeah.
And it and there was that storm, and it was literally the bleakest thing, felt like the end of the world. And anyone who knows, it's called Swavesey, and it's on the side of the road behind a little chef that's been converted into Herbie's American Diner.
Oh, they all have.
No, I like an American Diner. So I go in Herbie's American Diner, and this bloke goes, "Do you want a table?" And I went, "Yeah." And he went, "Okay, sit down." He goes, "The menu's on both sides." So I'm sat at this table, looking at the menu, and he goes, "We stopped doing breakfast now." And I'm thinking, shit, it was breakfast was served from like 8 till noon, and I was in there at like 5 minutes past 12, and I really wanted to fry up, because it's keto and stuff, if you order it right. I was like, fuck's sake. Then he comes over, and he went, clicked his finger twice, and moved me. And then I sat next to this other bloke who had two kids, right? He was the rudest, he must have owned it.
Sat next to? Not
yeah,
sat next to.
I was in like a booth, like, oh. You know, it was an American diner, and the next booth was like an Italian bloke with his kids ordering. And this bloke who served me was this big, intimidating, I was thinking, is it going to kick off? And I knew he owned the place because there's no way he would have been in there if he didn't. No one would have employed him. Terrible, terrible. This must have been Herbie. So this Italian bloke goes, "Excuse me, can you tell..." Oh, I didn't do the accent. He goes, "Excuse me." He goes, "Can you just tell me roughly how long the burgers take?" And he went, "I don't know, I'm not the chef." Oh, that's what he said.
No.
I mean, that's... not, I mean, this, would you give him, would you be happy with his 20% gratuitous?
No.
Gratuity? No. So then he goes to me, I order some food. And then this bloke comes in to go to the toilet. And he went, "Can I help you?" And he went, "I'm just going to the toilet." And he goes, "They're customer use only." And he goes, "I am a customer." And he went, "Oh, well I didn't know that, did I?"
What?
This bloke had got up from a table around the corner, gave for a shit. And this bloke's dug him out loudly in front of about 15 people.
"I'm going for a shit, mate. Is that all right?"
He goes, pointed at his table. He went, "Well, I didn't know that, did I?"
That isn't an answer. This guy's having a bad day. Either he owns the place or he couldn't give a fuck.
Oh, he owned the place. He owned the place. But I will say the food was nice.
Just all gobbed it.
No, I was one of them things where there was a couple of things on the menu I wanted to modify slightly. Like, you know, where you want to say...
Sounds like he's the kind of accommodating guy.
Oh, I didn't do it. I tell you, before I saw him kick off at the bloke about the toilet, I can smell a psycho. I knew. I was like, I'm going to toe the line in here. So I knew that was going to be a thing.
Bastards.
And then, do you want to hear my amazing news?
Oh, yeah.
I went to Leicester to do a gig in a golf club, a very nice gig. Oh, that was funny. There was someone doing like a promotional video for his day, part of Dave's Leicester Comedy Festival, and he wanted to interview me after the gig.
Oh, you're part of the big festival?
No. He goes, "Oh, we'll do it afterwards if you want." I went, "Oh, I didn't want to do it, Ash." I went, "Mm." So I walk off stage, and I'm like, come over here in the hallway. He's got a big light, a proper furry boom mic, and a camera on a tripod. And I'm in the lobby as the entire crowd walk. I mean, they're walking right past me, looking
at
me.
And you've just performed to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And had they had a good time?
Yeah.
That's all right then.
No, wasn't all right then, was it?
It's not.
And he was asking me, "Oh, brilliant. So what would you say to people that are watching this that don't go to live comedy? What would you say to anyone that's watching this that doesn't go to live comedy?" I'd say, "Why the fuck are you watching this? You're obviously not interested in it." And then he went, "Brilliant." Yeah. And then he went, "Brilliant. You know, how did it go?" I went, "It was all right." And then he went, "Great. So, you know, if people do want to see you again or they wanted to come out and find comedy, what would you say is a good way to go about watching comedy?" I went, "I don't know." And then he went, "All right, mate. Yeah, cheers." I just walked off. Put my coat on and went home.
You absolutely panxed it.
I had to, but I tell you what, if he'd have done it, because I didn't know who he was, I thought like he might have been something to do with getting paid or so. If he'd have said to me, "Do it before," I'd have been a shill. I'd have towed the line.
Yeah.
But because I'd already been on and I'd already had my envelope, and like I was just like, "I'm going now, bye."
Yeah, he's got in your way.
He's got it. And everyone was walking past looking at me. And it was, you've just been on stage trying to be like an everyman. And then, like, they walk past and they forget, even though it's not my fault, I bet they were thinking, who the fuck do you think he is in front of that cat?
Maybe they thought, oh, we should have laughed more at him because he's famous and that's what people do.
Oh, but you know that's impossible. When you've seen me live. It's impossible to laugh more.
I mean, I sent you the picture of the famous picture of the woman not enjoying you. We spoke about a couple of weeks ago. For some reason,
I think she was one of them people. She just turned up to look at a caved in head. And she was like, what's all this? Where's the top of the bill caved in head I came here to see?
Yeah, that's true. Were you closing that gig?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Just wondered, mate.
Close gigs now, mate. What about it? Top of the bill, headliner. What about it?
I'll tell you about a gig I did recently, shall I?
Go on then.
I won't give a specific place or date about it. I'll just tell you a couple of things because I think one of the best heckle retorts I've ever seen happened.
Mm-hmm.
A woman was getting involved, saying that she didn't like the act that was on stage and saying that he was sexist. And he came back with what I think... I mean, I'm going to try and remember this. I wouldn't normally steal someone's retort, but this one's good. And, I think you're going to feel the same when you hear it. He went, shut the fuck up, you fucking bitch.
You remember my story? I've told you this story.
Go on.
I told you the time I realised, when the time I had a light bulb moment and I thought, do you know what, I think I could make it as a comedian.
Yeah.
I've told you the story. I was doing a cricket club in somewhere like Esher, quite a posh place. And this was exactly that. This woman was talking and talking at me, and I sort of like forgot myself, and I was serious, and I sort of like dropped my act. I was an open spot, had never been paid at this point, and I went, oh, shut the fuck up, bitch, and everyone laughed.
Well, and no that was one when laughed I thought, when I heard this one.
You were saying?
No one laughed when the person that
you were saying it in a negative way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I said it. I said it and it got the biggest laugh of the night. If it was an open mic night.
I don't think it's okay to lose your...
She was pissing me off, though. She was pissing me off.
I don't think you'd do that now.
Of course I wouldn't. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, as soon as it came out of my mouth, I thought, oh, God, I fucked up. I've lost it. But everyone laughed. And I remember thinking, oh, I think I've got this because... I was trying to be serious then, but they laughed.
Yeah, no, they didn't laugh in this occasion.
And then she was really like, she's chatted to me. And then when I left, she was like all over me, like she loved it. And I remember thinking, and I've noticed when I MC, I'm horrible. But the more horrible I am, people seem to think I'm joking.
Oh, it puts you on an extra high status, I think, when you're mean.
I told someone to shut the fuck up at one of the clubs I MC'd.
No, I think you could say shut the fuck up, but he said shut the fuck up, you fucking bitch.
No, I didn't say it like I said.
That's
shut the fuck
too
up,
much.
Bitch.
It's too much. You've lost.
Yeah, but it depends where you are as well. It does. It depends where you are. If you told me he said that in or she, I'm guessing it was a he because he got accused of being sexist. So it is. If you told me he said that in a club in Dagenham. I would be like, yeah, I bet that sort of went over quite well. But then if you said he did it in, I don't know, for example, Brighton, I'd say, no, they're not going to go for that down there.
Another thing happened as well, which I would like to get your opinion on whether this is acceptable or not. You know, like your closer is, mm-hmm. you want to end on a big closer, right? You want to get maybe a clap and then say thank you very much.
Yeah, in essence, your whole set is
boiling
structured
up,
like a joke, is it should finish on a punchline, as in, the punchline is the funniest part of the story, and you want your end story to be the funniest part of your set.
So this particular act was maybe 3 minutes into a 5 minute closer when there was a kerfuffle in the room and someone was taken out of the room. The act then went, where was I? Oh, I can't remember. Oh, start again. Everyone laughed. Big laugh at the prospect of him starting again. On obviously 3 minutes into a bit. But he did. And he told the same 3 minutes, word for word, action for action, that he had just done previously and then got through to his close, got through to the punchline. That's not all right, is it?
Are you taking the piss?
No, you just, surely, you just say, oh,
and you would do it differently because you've completely blown...
Yeah, the cover of it being made up.
How did he get... So he said, I'm going to do it again and got a big laugh.
Yeah, they all thought
and
he was joking.
Then how quickly did the dawning realisation he was serious and the goodwill end?
I reckon a minute, maybe. No.
He's lucky
30
to
seconds,
do a minute.
40 seconds. Yeah. Because I turned to the sound engineer, I was standing next to him, and went, oh, he's really doing it again. He's actually doing it again. But all the little nuances that look improvised. Yeah, they were all the same.
I don't know who you're talking about. Is it the same person that said, shut the fuck up, bitch?
Oh, it was, but I don't want to give that away, so I won't say yes.
Okay, well, I don't know who this person is, but I do not like them. And also, that's someone who is struggling to make up the time. Isn't it?
Well, so afterwards, the person said, I was a bit worried that I didn't have 20.
That's it.
I've only been doing 15.
Right, so not only have you blown the illusion to the audience that what you're doing is rehearsed and it's an act, you've also blown the pretense to the promoter that you did that to be sort of like creative and actually I was worried I didn't have enough. This person is a fucking moron.
Okay, well, I'll give you their name afterwards so you can...
Oh, I don't give a fuck, mate.
You can book them.
So, yeah, and the other brilliant thing that happened was in Leicester. I went into a little independent curry house. It was like a cafe, but they served curry. But, you know, it wasn't like a restaurant. And they got my bill wrong, and I paid way less than I should have.
Oh, lovely. What a time to be alive.
I ordered a big mixed kebab and a chicken jalfrezi on the side.
So you had two Indians.
It was a weird place. It was served Indian, Italian, and kebabs, but it was like a calf. It wasn't a takeaway, but it would be like lamb Rogan Josh, beef lasagna. The menu was really fucked up.
That is weird.
So then I was like, oh, I'll have to.
Was that in Leicester?
Yeah. I thought, I'm going to get the mixed kebab and not eat the bread. And because I'm not eating the bread, I'm going to need a chicken jalfrezi on the side. And I had a beer. And they charged me like £7. And I just sort of like paid it quickly and ran out.
You've done
but
really
it was good. It was nice. So I should have paid, but...
No, maybe that is what it costs up there.
No. The kebab was like $7.95 and the jalfrezi was like $6.95 and I think a beer was like £4. And they charged me like, I can't remember what it was. It was like £7-8. I was like, oh,
yeah,
cool.
You ripped them off massively.
Yeah, I ripped them off. But then they get their error. And I've been overcharged, I'm sure.
Fuck them's what I say.
Yeah, if you can't fucking add up, mate. The universe gives and also takes away.
Yeah,
and you got to
take
like
that time I paid for all those kebabs I didn't have.
Yeah, I do. I also, I'll tell you what I did today. I thought I'd lost my wallet for about 2 hours.
Where was it?
It had fallen out of my jeans.
So you had lost it in a way?
Yeah, but it wasn't anywhere where I'd deliberately put it, but I hadn't lost it. I mean, I thought I'd lost it, and it actually had quite a lot of money in it. This is the irony. My wallet has been empty for about 3 months, and it actually had money in it, and I was like, I've lost all my... And that's for my... Got to have a crown done tomorrow. That's my money to pay for my tooth.
Oh, that's good news for you, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it was meant to be done months ago, but I couldn't afford it. I've had to put it off twice. So I've been struggling through a fucking, bad teeth, tooth.
Well, that'd be nice tomorrow. Get that done. Hand over. You're going to pay in cash to the dentist.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Well, and also, how weird's this? I don't know if this is weird or not. It seems weird to me. Have a guess when my appointment is.
2:30.
No, actually. 7:00.
That's not funny, though.
That's weird.
11 o'clock?
7.
Oh, 7 a.m.?
P.M.
P.M.?
7 o'clock.
Oh, you know why? He's going on holiday, isn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's what dentists do. They earn so much money. They only work like 6 months of the year.
It's going to seem weird, like, going out for the night to the dentist.
The good thing about that will be that once you're done, you can just go to sleep.
Yeah, okay. And
you don't have to, for the rest of the day.
Is it going
to
be agonising pain?
Say again?
Is it going to be agonising pain? What is it? I don't like the sound of it. I was going to look it up, but I don't want to look it up.
Well, you've never had a crown?
No.
I thought you'd had a crown done already.
No. I probably told you I was having it done, and then I didn't because I didn't have the money.
So a crown, if I'm correct, is that where they...
grind a tooth down and stick a thing over it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was that. I don't want it. I might cancel it.
Well, yeah, but you do want it because otherwise... So what's wrong at the moment with the tooth?
Right, I had a filling fall out 2 years ago at Christmas. And I was like, there's a big hole in my top molar on the left-hand side. And I thought, I'm going to have to be careful with that. And I was pissed on Christmas Day. And I had a load of pitted olives from Aldi in a tub. Bought some olives. And I chucked a green olive in my mouth and bit it. And it had a stone in it. Oh. And I'm not joking. The stone went up exactly into the fucking hole. And it just went... this, it sounded like... And this fucking massive bit of my tooth came off.
No,
so then I had to go back in. You know, it was close to a nerve. It was really sensitive. So I went in like the day after Boxing Day or whenever. And he goes, this is like probably... this is as big, if not too big, to put a filling in. The filling will keep breaking up. Yeah. So I've had it filled. And then they made a gold inlay. That's right. I had it filled and the filling kept breaking because it was too big. Then they made a gold inlay or onlay, whatever. And then that kept falling out and I've had it re-put in.
Oh, yeah, because I remember you had a bit of gold come out of your mouth or something. And you were
yeah, that was that. That kept falling out. So then he goes, you've got to have a crown. And I was like, cool. And then I went
to what kind
to
of crown? Like a white crown? Like a tooth crown? Are you going to have a gold tooth?
I asked him. I suppose I can.
Why do people do... I wouldn't want a gold tooth under any circumstances.
No, I'm with you. No, you want to try... Now with modern technology, if they can make it look... I think in the old days, that was all you had. You could either have like a dirty piece of that amalgam metal or gold. But now
sterile.
They can make...
I guess gold is sterile.
It's not that. I think it was like try and make it look ornamental. But now if they can recreate a tooth, then yeah, of course you would have that.
I think I'd have all my teeth done so that I didn't have the fear of having to go to the dentist. You know,
well, they do that thing where they install anchor points in your gums and they screw titanium screws with teeth on it.
Yeah, my mum's had that done.
Yeah, just get that. I might just get that. I haven't got the money, but that'd be quite cool to have like perfect teeth that you don't even have to brush.
I think you do have to brush them, but yeah, my mum went to Budapest. She went to Harley Street. To get like a price, it's like about 10 grand or something, and then the dentist in Harley Street, which is a big place in London, like a famous
it's like the medical row,
and the bloke said, oh, by the way, I do this privately in Budapest where I'm from, like, so if you don't want to do it here, I'll do it for you in Budapest for like 3 grand
cash.
So basically, so my mum flew out to Budapest and had the same guy do the same job and got all new teeth.
So somewhere like Harley Street, there used to be a few doctors there, then it got known for being a medical region. So then everybody, anyone who wants to be like a big shot doctor pays extortionate rates to be. Same thing with Denmark Street in London and music shops, Tin Pan
Alley. A lot
of
that's closing though, isn't it?
Yeah, but everywhere is. And in New York, they've got like the Diamond District. I don't know. I'm making this up.
And you've got that in London as well. You've got...
yeah, like 54th Street. So why does that... Why does it become a thing that if you... like you've... it's weird, isn't it?
Well, I think it'd be the opposite. It's so weird that...
competition.
You go, oh, I won't open that shop. Oh, I've got a diamond shop. Where should I open it? Hatton Garden.
Next to these other 15 diamond shops.
That have all been like established for 100 years.
If I was walking around the street and I wanted to open a coffee shop, I'd be like... I'd look around and go, there ain't a coffee shop within 3 miles of here, and it's quite busy. This would be a good place for a coffee shop.
In the coffee shop district.
Yeah, there's the Golden Mile. I have circle it back. There's the Golden Mile in Leicester, which used to be all jewellers, and now it's just curry houses all the way down there. It's weird, isn't it?
Do they still call it the Golden Mile, or do they come up with a witty kind of curry-based mile?
Yeah, they call it the...
come on.
Golden Mile. That's what they call it.
Corma.
Yeah. Got to be careful in you these days. That's what they call it. Yeah, they call it
Banan. No,
they call it
come on, mate.
Yeah, they call it
golden.
I tell you what they call it.
Yeah,
Oh, I've got it. They call it
curry based.
The curry Nation Street.
Okay. Yep.
They call it Curry Nation Street.
That's fine. Yeah, we're having that. Thank you.
I'm tired. I need to lie down now.
Yeah, you worked hard for that, mate. Well done.
I'm such a lazy prick. I actually feel like I've just done something.
So, are you out this week? This weekend?
Where
are you?
I'm rammed, mate. Yeah, I'm out this weekend. I am in Suffolk, then Avon.
Oh, a bit of Avon up in the Midlands.
I was born in Suffolk, and then I will be in Bristol again.
I want to gig in Bristol.
I know, but I keep offering. Well, I keep telling you there are available chances, and you keep going, "Oh, I've got to go. I've got to go to the Candy Floss Fair."
Is it that I've got other gigs?
Well, sometimes other gigs. Sometimes you're doing social engagements, which I think is unacceptable to have a lot.
One time, I went to my mother's birthday.
Yeah. One time, but that was that one time. What about if the one time when? What about? For example,
you're
how about this? For example,
what's going
on? Well, I'm just
this
saying.
Is,
what? What
this
did
is
you
your
say?
Strength.
What's that? I'm just saying. What about? Yeah. What about if the one time when? What about? You know that one time when Dick Whittington?
Yeah.
Went to London.
Yes.
And ended up being the mayor.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I can't go to London with my cat because. My cousin's christening. What about that?
Okay.
That's something to think about.
It really is. And I'll think about that for the rest of the week. Listener, apologies for the last one didn't get out very quick. We had some technological difficulties, as in Justin just couldn't be bothered.
I was on the road. I was on the road, and I can't afford to use all my data by uploading files on Wi-Fi, and I didn't have on a, 4G, whatever. And I didn't have Wi-Fi at the travel lodge or anywhere, so.
I mean, that's not true, but it's a lovely excuse.
That is true.
You didn't have Wi-Fi at the travel lodge, which gives free Wi-Fi.
No, it doesn't. You got to pay for it.
Nah, mate.
My room was £22, and it was like, it's £5 for 24-hour Wi-Fi.
Oh, I do want a £22 room, though.
No, trust me, you don't. It was in a lay-by, surrounded by mountains of tarmac and fat men in high-vis vests with tattoos of scorpions on their necks.
Fair play. Thank you, listener. If you want to... I mean, I'm not even going to ask you to support the podcast at this stage. If you want to support Justin, just directly to his... from hand to mouth, you can do it on Ko-fi. Patreon is not up at the moment, but it will be when we are producing Patreon-based content in the near future. Is that correct, Justin?
Yeah. Wrap this sucker up like a Christmas tree in those things you throw them through.
Thanks, listener. See you soon. You're having a nightmare today. See you soon, listener.